We all know how overwhelming it can feel to try to decide what to eat, what's healthy, what's not. The options are endless, which is why my mom and I have been absolutely loving Factor. If you're ready to optimize your nutrition this year, Factor is perfect for you. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, so it's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle, which is exactly why my mom and I have been loving it so much. They have 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, so it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. You can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. And best of all, Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. I got some juices in my last delivery that I've been loving having as an in-between my delicious meals. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first blocks plus free shipping. That's FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I have the pleasure of sitting across the table from my lovely mother, Barb, who tends to know best. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
Did that make you laugh?
It did. It made me laugh. That is a cute take on our podcast title.
People often ask us how we came up with that title, and you know, mother knows best, but you're my mother, so it's Barb.
Yes. And I think what really the true meaning or the true linking of that is that all of your life I have, you know, been practicing.
And teaching me?
Yeah, I've been practicing all kinds of things and teaching you and all of that. And it's kind of cool that certainly I am not the expert on everything, but
you've gained a lot of insights,
the things,
I would say.
Yeah, the things that I've gained some really tremendous insights on, I love sharing with you, and I've loved raising you, and I love being your mother.
A powerful woman in the world.
Exactly. I love being your mother. I was thrilled when you were born. It was back in the day in 1985.
Wow, back in the day.
Well, when I think about it, when I talk to women today with, you know, the sonograms and knowing the sex of the child
right.
And all the things, you know, I never
you didn't know that.
No, I didn't have any of that. So when you were born and you were a girl, your dad and I were thrilled.
Aww.
I could not be happier to have born a daughter.
Born a daughter.
Does that make sense?
Birthed.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I could not have been happier.
Yeah.
For you to have been born a daughter, to have birthed a daughter, and to have raised a daughter, and to, you know, to love you with all the depths of my heart, and to be working with my daughter and doing this extraordinary work that we do in the world and founding Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life together and so many things as a mother-daughter duo. So I love you.
Well, it is
Thank you.
Privilege to be working with you as my mom and my mentor and my colleague and, you know, all of that lead in because we're recording this episode on Women's Day, International Women's Day. So happy International Women's Day to everyone, to all of our women supporters, to all of our men supporters who support women, to everyone who identifies as a woman. Happy Women's Day to all. You know, I am so grateful to know so many strong women, to be inspired by so many strong women, and to learn about love and compassion from, you know, so many women in my sphere. You know, I fear what the world would look like without women. And so I have a lot of gratitude for the energy and the strength and the insights that women put out in the world every single day.
I love that because it's so true. We have amazing women in our circle, mm-hmm. and in our life and in our work. We've met so many amazing women. We know so many amazing women. And truthfully, there are, you know, billions. Mm-hmm. of amazing women in our world. And I love that I love that March is Women's Month.
Women's History Month, yeah.
Every month should be Women's Month.
Wow.
Well, like it all should be the same. We should all be honored. All humanity should be honored every month. But I love it that we highlight women and what they do and what they bring to the world and what they bring to the lives individually every single day of people in the world. So it's nice. And I like that it is March. I was just going to say too, for me, March is a little bit, especially since we live in Florida, you know, it's really warm in March and all of that, but March is like spring to me. I remember living in Chicago thinking as March was coming along, I often thought, wow, spring is in the air, even before we got to April. So I love it because for me, the idea of March being National Women's Month or International Women's Month or, you know, Women's Month in particular, it's really a sweet renewal. It's
oh,
really
for spring. Sweet, I was wondering where the...
Yeah, really a sweet renewal for spring, you know, new energy, fresh energy. I feel invigorated, not just because it's, you know, Women's Month. I just, for whatever reason, you know, I've often said that January 1st doesn't feel like the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I've often said that February 1st does, but this year for me, February 1st, I was still dealing with a lot of 2024 issues. So
now it's March.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, Mom.
Exactly. I have a new, you know, vigor, a renewal. It just feels the days are longer, you know, new beginnings. It just feels really exciting for me
and
right
hopeful.
Now and hopeful and fresh energy, new beginnings. I don't know. It just, I love it.
I love it.
And I'm happy that we're speaking about the month of March and we're speaking about honoring women.
Yeah. You know, we are two women who run this show. We have a nonprofit that is run by women. We work with so many amazing women. And, you know, I think in this day and age, we hear a lot about why do we need to have a Women's History Month, or why do we need to have a Women's Day, or, you know, why are there still so many conversations being had about women's equality and, you know, rights and everything like that. And I think it's important that we remember that, you know, it hasn't always been equal. And even in the not so distant past, you know, women weren't given the same rights. And the expectations and the pressures and the rules and the everything that have been placed on women in all cultures. I mean, obviously, we're speaking from our experience living in the United States as far as, you know, societal expectations. But, you know, each part of the world has its own set of, you know, different lived experiences. But I think across the board, you know, women feel added burdens and pressures in society. And so today we wanted to talk about, you know, the experiences of women and honor the road that has been paved before us to bring us closer to equality and just to shed some light on some of the discrepancies that are still being faced today, and just have a conversation about it. You know, as two generations of women, you know, I have a different lived experience than even you, Mom, and see what we can, you know, come to a conclusion on as we are in an interesting time in the world with lots of uncertainties, lots of fear about what could be to come, and how are we going to tackle it, and how are we going to handle it?
I love that. So kind of welcoming you all to this space where we're going to honor the strength, you know, the resilience and the power of women. You know, what does it mean to be a woman in today's world? How the difference is, as you said, two different generations. And, you know, my mother's generation was totally different than mine. And it's kind of interesting as I've gotten older to reflect on all of that.
For sure.
Because change is inevitable. We know that. Nothing stays the same. But it's so fascinating. It's so powerful to look and see, wow, it is really different. And then that idea of embracing each other, embracing womanhood, embracing the strength and confidence, sisterhood, you know, and just the beauty and the struggle. You know, life is dual. It's pain and suffering. So,
yeah, and like, what does it mean to be like women supporting women? You hear all of that. Are you a girl's girl? Are you a woman who supports other women? And I think we throw these terms around and these expectations around, but like, what do they really mean? What does it mean to be a supportive woman of all women? What does that look like? What is the energy that goes out into it? And how can we actually, you know, each do our own work to create supportive spaces for women to thrive and survive and, you know, go after things that they're passionate about?
And I think that speaks to what I said a little bit earlier, that in life, for everyone, not just women, we have pain, suffering, and we have joy, and we have happiness. We have, it is always two sides of the coin. There is never just one thing. So life is that. So for women, we are beauty from the inside out, and we struggle. So there's two sides of that coin. But for me, what I've noticed over my 68 years, I seem to be talking about me being 68 a lot on these episodes.
It's been in your mind a lot lately.
It has been, actually, yeah.
We've had conversations personally about it as well.
Yes. So for me, thinking about, women are expected to be beautiful. We're expected to look good. We're expected to act in a way that becomes a young lady, which is what I heard as a child. Be nice, you know, don't talk too loudly. You know, it was just amazing when I think back of the things that I was told as a child. But then as we fast forward to today, 2025, we as women are still expected to look nice, you know, be the certain weight or have the certain clothes or have the certain look. We're expected to be beautiful in whatever that means to whatever human being is looking at us. But beauty is the word. And so, but we also struggle, and we're not really allowed so much to talk about the struggles. We're kind of expected to suck it up. Mm-hmm. And I know as a young person in the working world, I was in a man's world way back then in 1974. Yeah. So I was expected to suck it up. And I did. I mean, I just, because I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be powerful. I wanted to have all the things that I wanted in my life. So I did suck it up. I just assumed this is the way that it is, and I have to live in this man's world. So I never gave any thought. That's what's so interesting about living today from someone from my generation to now. I didn't give it one thought that it was a man's world. I just became a man, pretty much, in the man's world.
Well, like Taylor Swift's the man, you know?
Yes, exactly. I love that song. Taylor Swift's the man. I became a man.
If I was the man, I'd be the man.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was the man.
Because also,
and I didn't give a, I just want to, and I didn't give a thought that I was a woman that had to be a man. Mm. I just gave a thought that I'm the man because I want what I want. I wanted to achieve. I wanted to be successful. This is what I was expected to do. And I didn't want to fight it because I knew that I couldn't.
But without
I didn't
space even, or grace for anything else.
Well, but I didn't even think that it was a thing that I had to. I didn't think there was anything wrong with me being the man. That's why her song is so powerful for me. I thought that's what women did. I thought that's what life was about, really. We had to be the man because the man was the man.
I know that sounds but I funny. Mean, you know, and having our little chat before we started recording, you also realized in your man's world work environment that even though you were being the man, the double standards were still there.
Oh.
And you still weren't, you know, always moved up the ladder like a man would have been.
Well, for sure. But I think 100%.
It wasn't just like, oh, if I emulate a man, then it'll be fine.
No, 100% that, because I think
you're still a woman.
I think the thing that I felt back then, but also that I recognize today because of all the Me Too movement, because of everything that has come out. It's so wonderful that we live in an era right now where we actually know the truth. Now we all need to just own it. Yes. And that's been the difficulty.
Agree on what's true.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, when you look at the statistics, they bear out what I felt way back then, but never could speak it. And now women are speaking it, which I'm so grateful for. Like 1 in 5 women are sexually assaulted or have some kind of, you know, sexual advancement or sexual harassment or some kind of sex
abuse,
which makes me crazy. So that goes back to what I said. We have to be beautiful because men want us to be beautiful, but then we can't suffer. So if we're sexually assaulted or sexually harassed or in some way, shape, or form in the workplace, especially have some sexual innuendo or contact, we're not allowed to struggle with it. We're not allowed to suffer with it. We weren't allowed to even speak about it. So we've come a long way. Mm-hmm. But what bothers me today and what is so impassionate in me today, impassionate, why I'm impassioned? So impassioned and I'm so passionate today is I just want to know why. I just want to know from society. I won't even say men. We'll just leave that to everybody to sort that out. But I just want to know why when I'm in a room, and I just had this experience recently where it was all men. I'm in a room with all men and I'm being treated differently in a situation.
Yeah, as a woman in your 60s who has power, yeah, stature, all
money,
of the things.
Everything. I have everything I could have ever wanted for, and I have a platform that I love so much, and I'm doing the work that I came here to do. I'm so.
And still, it's not enough.
And I'm in a room with all men, and
white men, I might add.
I'm being treated totally differently. They want to change the rules, and they want to now expect me to sign a contract that is totally different than what all of those men had to sign. All those men never got a contract, number one, in this project that I'm doing. Not only did they never get a contract, not only were they allowed to do anything that they wanted, now, and the reason is because we're in the season, but that's not a why, now they want to put a contract in place, and if I don't sign it, they are going to sue me. And I looked and I said, but if you were in my same place, let's say the shoes are reversed or the situation's reversed and you're in my shoes, wouldn't you be doing the same thing?
Well, you even said, what would you do if you were in my situation?
If you were in my situation, none of them would answer that. We're not in your situation and this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so it's 18 against one. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm thinking, what? Like I appealed to their... I was trying to appeal to their empathy or their, you know, thoughtfulness, but then I thought I'm appealing to reason. If you were in this same situation, what would you do? And I expected one of them to say, well, this is what I would do. No, they wouldn't even answer the question. This is what we're doing, period. And so they're suing me. I'm being sued.
Well, that's not totally true, but what? They're intimidating you.
Well, they had a lawyer send me a letter.
Yeah.
They are. Well, so it'll probably, I have my own lawyer who says this is absolutely ridiculous, who happens to be a man.
You're being bullied by a group,
yes,
of men because you are not kowtowing to their demands.
Exactly.
And their that is the whole point.
And they turned it over to a lawyer. So anyway, I just want to say kudos.
Even
out
in your
there.
60s, it's still happening for,
exactly,
you.
Exactly. And it's amazing to me to think about where we've come, but what all we need to do more. And I think the thing that we need, for me, I'm feeling strongly about this idea of all of us women, what is it, what you said in the beginning of this show, Michelle, what does it mean to support women? What does it mean to speak up like all of the women have done before us, all of the Black women have done, the Me Too movement, all those things that have been happening for the past 10 years or more. It's really powerful. And the idea of, as a woman, how can I use my voice, mm-hmm, or how can I use my presence in the world to honor everyone, to honor all humanity? That is my ethos in life, loving kindness for all humanity. It is not about women have to, I'm only on women's side. It's not. It's about how can we have all equality and all presence and grace and honor for all of humanity, that we all may step up and thrive in the individual lives that we're trying to live. So I'm excited about this conversation and excited about these last, you know, years of my life. What can I do to support humanity and support womanhood in a way that honors the belief that we are all equal and we all deserve to have the space. We deserve to have the knowing that we are enough. That we are not less than. That's what I'm trying to say. It may have been a little convoluted because I'm feeling very passionate right now and very energized. How can we know that we are enough and that we all are more than enough, and that one sector of the population, whether it be a man, whether it be a race, whether it be a country, whether it be anything, is not more than enough than we are. We are all enough. And we are all more than enough. There's not one category that's more than enough than another category. So I'm loving this, and that I use that more than enough, because you and I had the great privilege of doing Elaine Welteroth's book, one of her book launches of her book, More Than Enough. I don't know how many years ago that was, you know, like 2018, I think, or 2019. Yeah. And I love that book. If you haven't had a chance to read it, I love that book. And it's a memoir where she talks about her struggles as a Black woman. And look at her today. I just admire her and love her so much. So I love women so much, but I love humanity so much. So how can we start to bridge the gap between what is happening today and what absolutely needs to happen for tomorrow?
Absolutely. And I think it's important to share that 89% of women say they feel, you know, pressured to be everything to everyone, that they, you know, more than half of women experience imposter syndrome at work, doubting their success and their qualifications. You know, women are twice as likely to experience and suffer mental health issues, anxiety and depression. And, you know, when you were just talking about everything that you said, why, and I say, why do we have these stats? Why are women more likely to feel this way and to experience life this way? And, you know, from my lived experience, it's due to the inequalities and the expectations that are placed upon us. And, you know, I even remember growing up, the mindset or the tagline or the thing of, like, you know, women can have it all. Women can have the career, they can have the family, they can have the husband, they can have the house, they can have the perfect body. You know, women can have it all. And, you know, I don't ever remember hearing anyone ever say, like, men can have it all. But I used to hear that line and I would think, wow, that's so amazing that women are being told this. And it is. Women should be able to choose what they want to have for their lives. But in thinking about it in some hindsight, as I've gotten older, it's like kind of an unfair expectation that women are supposed to be wanting all of those things and perfectly maintaining all of those things and never letting any aspect of it all to slip. And for me, that really feels like the big difference, because I don't ever feel, or I've never really seen men have to face that same level of perfectionism in all areas of life all the time. And to me, that's just, you know, a subtle but huge difference in the lived experiences, where I was just talking to someone this past week about, you know, I've shared this on social media and on the pod, I'm going to be releasing my first book in the fall of this year. And so I've been in the last stages of my edits. We've been in the process of choosing the cover. You know, it's all starting to feel very real. And so I was having some conversations with some people about my book, and then, you know, just about our work, about the podcast, about, you know, everything that we've been doing for the past 12 years and just my life. And I felt a lot of pride, you know, kind of going through the list of my accomplishments so far and what we've been able to create. And in that conversation, I mentioned to this person that I have these conversations quite often where, you know, this list of accomplishments is acknowledged, but at the end of it, I'm asked by people, well, but what about getting married? You know, why haven't you met anybody yet? Or so when are you going to take some time to settle down and meet someone? Or what are you doing to meet someone? Are you dating? Do you have the apps? Are you really putting yourself out there? Don't you think it's time to make that more of a priority since everything else seems to be going really well for you? And those, in a certain circumstance, could be fair questions, you know, given who's asking them. But I'm always finding myself so shocked when I can list accomplishments and things about my life that I'm really excited about and really proud of, and things that have brought me so much fulfillment. And people's first next question is asking me about a man or asking about me about when I'm going to prioritize that part of my life, or, you know, insinuating in some way that my life isn't complete because I don't yet have that piece of the puzzle figured out yet. And
yeah,
I don't know. It makes me feel a certain way. I don't know if the other half of the world experiences that to that degree. And that's something that across the board I experience without question.
Yeah, I think that is the double standard. And it is, you know, most often what we talk about in life, that it really truly is that way, especially if you are a girl or a woman or in any category like that, that there is that expectation. Society has said that expectation that to be successful, you have to have another person. Like, you can't just be single and doing all of these great, amazing things. And I think my why is always like, why do we abide by these standards set by society? And yes, okay, so I get it. It was like that back in the day, you know, and people brought up to me, well, Barb in the caveman days and all those things. They even call it caveman, right? The man did this and all of that. I get it. I'm not trying to change the past. I am not trying to say, well, that was wrong. I don't know what was happening back then. I'm not trying to say anything was necessarily in terms of that whole caveman days where the woman had to stay home and raise the kids and the man had to do this. I am saying we are more educated now. We know
we've evolved
and we've evolved. Aren't we here on this earth to learn and to grow and evolve into the best version of who we are? I mean, that's my thought process of why we're here in life. Learn, grow, and evolve to become the best version of who we already are from the inside out. So that's always my why. So why is it that we have to put other people in second place, or we have to have these society standards? Why? So I think that is the question. That is the quintessential question that we really must ask. Why? Why are we still bent? And this doesn't just involve women. That's what we're talking about. But we can go across all of, you know, the places in life and the standards that we have in life of different peoples. You know, we have all the race things that are happening in the world and in this country
today.
All of the inequalities and injustices. And I guess that's the thing. So we're focusing on women today and Women's History Month. Just, I think, ask yourself why. And you did that stat that you told me, that women are twice as likely as men to be diagnosed with depression. And that's a study and a survey done by the American Psychological Association. It breaks my heart. And I know that you know this, you and I both know this to be true because we work with teenagers as well. So let me tell you this other stat. We work with a lot of teenagers. We work with a lot of college age students. That suicide is the second leading cause of death for young people between 10 and 24. The first cause of death is guns.
Gun violence, yeah.
Gun violence. And so young adults between the age of 10 and 24 account for over 15% of all suicides. It's like mind-boggling. But then this statistic got you and I, especially during the pandemic when we were working with all of the kids that we were working with online, virtually. Girls and young women are twice as likely to be admitted to an ER for self-harm. Twice as likely, girls. It breaks my heart. And in 2021, 9% of all high school students attempted suicide. And the stat goes on to say, more frequently reporting young girls. So I feel so scared a little bit, especially as I've aged, that we must change this. We have to really start prioritizing equality. We have to start prioritizing that a woman can't be expected to be young and stay beautiful and do all of these things that men supposedly want from us, but then also 1 in 5 of us are being sexually assaulted, raped, or harassed. Like, what is the deal there? And I think as women, I want people to start waking up to these statistics. I want research to start being front and center when we're looking at our lives. And how can you and I, Michelle, be so passionate about this and have this podcast and have an all-female team? That's why I love, shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts, his
all women team
is all women. But how can we start really using our voices a little bit more and helping other women, especially all women, standing up to this? And I'm not saying to put men down. I love all of humanity. I'm not saying we put men down to raise us up. I'm saying let's just start looking at 2025 and let's start looking at what society is trying to tell women to do today. And I'm only speaking, obviously, for the United States because this is where I live. But the idea that I have to be thin but not too thin, or that I have to say whatever men want me to say or have to be what I want them to be if I want to get ahead, especially if
or
I'm in the workplace.
Be calm and not, you know, overreact or I'm not be allowed. Seen as too emotional.
We have to be beautiful but not too smart. I can go to Harvard and go to Yale and get the best job in the world, but oh, I'm sorry, we're not really paying you as much as we would pay a man in this law firm that went to Harvard or went to Yale. You know, I have to be healthy. You know, I have to have money. I have to be able to support myself. I have to be able to take care of the kids. I have to be able to do all the things. I can be a boss, but oh my gosh.
Not too bossy.
Don't be too mean. Don't be that bossy lady. You know, I have to be a leader. And I'm just saying all of those things that we hear all of the time.
Taking control of our health and wellness can be confusing and overwhelming. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. And our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they all mess with our hormones. Then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's natural, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any more of it anymore. Because now we have Hormone Harmony. A formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty of adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today. Remember when we told you about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, we've got more details about this cutting-edge way to measure your biological age because it's seriously so cool and incredibly insightful. My mom and I took the test, and we absolutely loved learning more about our biological age, our health, and just getting the data so that we can make better choices to improve our health. True Age analyzes hundreds of thousands of markers on your DNA to reveal your true biological age and how fast you're aging compared to others. It tells you how fast 11 key organ systems are aging, and you get a breakdown of 75 plus key longevity biomarkers with things like metabolic health, immune response, and even risk factors for certain conditions. TrueAge was developed by doctors and scientists from Yale, Harvard, and Duke, drawing on one of the world's largest DNA databases so that you know these insights are backed by serious science, which of course we love. Along with your results, you'll receive personalized recommendations to help you improve your numbers and even potentially reverse your biological age over time. The best part, it's easy and convenient. The TrueAge test is done at home, so no doctor visit or big needles required, which is amazing. You send off your sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get your detailed online report about your aging and health, fast and hassle-free. So if you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code BARBKNOWSBEST to get 20% off your entire order. This is your chance to take control of your aging and make every year count more for your health. Visit truediagnostic.com and use BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout to get 20% off.
But I think the biggest thing that I saw recently was this quote that really hit with me because I have been this person. And especially having gone through a divorce when you were three, and then getting remarried and going through the trauma of that second marriage and work and all of that, and you going through all that, though it really struck me when I read this recently. Women are expected to work like they don't have children, and raise children as if they don't work.
Mm. That's the quote.
And that really got me.
Who said
me.
That?
I saw it. They didn't attribute it.
Okay, we'll find it.
I don't know. We'll find it. But that really got me because I remember when I was going through the divorce with your dad, my mom called me and she felt so bad. You know, Barbara, I'm so sorry. You've got to raise Michelle. And I said, I know, Mom. Don't be sorry for me, though, because I have the money and the ability
support
to support financially. And I have a good, you know, caretaker for you when I was off working. And then when you went to school, it was easier because I could arrange my schedule for that. But I had a lot of privilege that a lot of women in the world and in our country don't have today. And she said, but still, and she was in that generation of being put upon like this. And but she said, but still, Barbara, mm-hmm. She used to call me Barbara, but still, Barbara, I feel for you. This is a lot of pressure and a lot of anxiety and a lot of care that you have to do to handle both sides of it. So she was speaking from her experience as a woman. And it just, I would love for us to start giving ourselves grace, but giving other women grace together, and to really know that we are enough and that we're not to blame and we're not the problem. I feel like for me, I know that was my default. If something went wrong, if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, or someone didn't like something that I did, I always took the blame and I felt like maybe I was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so much pressure and there's so much anxiety. And now with the way things are in, you know, the economies in the world, but the economies in the United States, it's hard. There isn't just most families aren't just a single parent working. Both
right.
parents are working.
Well, I like what you said that, you know, we are constantly having to navigate contradictions as women. And, you know, it's like walking a tightrope of living up to the expectations but not being too much. And it's exhausting because also it often feels like the goalpost is constantly being moved. You know, you can, again, like I remember when I was a kid, it's like you dream about having a career that you love. And then, you know, these days it's like, okay, but how can you be like the ultimate girl boss? And, you know, if you're not making, you know, the 30 under 30 list or getting, you know, the praise or social media, or if you're not making X amount of money, like it's not enough. Like it, like you were saying, it's constantly feeling like whatever our efforts are to be good enough or to be smart enough or thin enough or strong enough, like it's never enough. And it's an exhausting reality to live within. And it's frustrating when you realize that, you know, it's a manipulation tactic that, you know, others don't have to face. And it's just really fascinating when you take the time to really think about some of these dynamics and how it really impacts this massive section of society on like a widespread level. And what the impacts are, what the consequences of this are. You know, I think so often about how, you know, with some of these pressures and expectations, you know, women having to have it all and do it all, there's no space for, you know, potential creative outlets or hobbies or, you know, pursuits for just the fun of it, or to even foster, you know, other friendships or relationships that are for fun. You know, one of the things we hear so often in some of our workshops and in our community is like, there's no time for women to have fun and do things for fun. Everything always has to have a purpose or revolve around kids or husbands or families or work. That seems to be something that's totally cut out of the equation for us. And, you know, what are the repercussions of that when you think about emotional and mental health and emotional well-being? When you think about the expectations and pressures for physical, how we present ourselves with, like you said, mom, being thin but not too thin, looking like this but not like that, you know, being provocative but not too provocative. It's like the mind games and the, you know, ability for all of this to etch away at our connection with ourselves and how we perceive ourselves and our own mental health. Again, it suffers. And it's just a lot to navigate. And no wonder, you know, that quote or that stat that women are more likely to be anxious and depressed. Hello. Like, thinking about all of that made me anxious.
And I think the whole purpose and the point of having this conversation today on our podcast is not to just, you know, talk about all the grievances. And like you were saying, Michelle, these are all the truths. Talk about all the grievances and all the things that we all withstand. Michelle and I are having this conversation because we want women to stand together. It's like, let's look at the truth and where can all women band together, and not in being necessarily revolutionally externally, you know, like we don't have to go, you can, and there are many people that do, and I honor and love and support that, but there are many ways to stand up for women. There are many ways to stand up together. And for me, it's the idea, how can, when we can stand together and we can lift each other up, when we can do what we can to continue to speak truth. For me, this episode is about how can we as women stand together in truth in any little tiny way we can in our own lives. And I say this with the idea that we already know there's impossible standards. We already know all of these things, but we kind of glaze over it if we're not really understanding the truth of it. And I think when you were talking, Michelle, it reminded me that other stat that you and I were talking about, that over 50%, like 50.5, close to 51 now, percent of the population in the United States is women. Mm-hmm. So this is only going to keep growing, is women. So the idea that how can we, it's like the why. For me, it's the why. How can we not, how can we stand up? So when we're in a group, I'll give you an example of something that I know happened, that a friend of mine just experienced. So she's an immigrant, and she became a high-powered president in an organization. Like, she became the president of an organization. I mean, and she, an immigrant, and she's the first generation of her, mm-hmm. of her family to go to school. First generation of her family, obviously, then to get all the things necessary. She worked her way all the way up to having a PhD. Mm-hmm. She's an immigrant, female, in a really high-powered presidency. And in the past few months, she was told that it came up time for her to reapply for the job, or to be promoted, not promoted. What's the word I'm trying to think of?
She was going to be replaced.
They were talking about replacing her, and couldn't really give her any reasons for replacement, but they were going to be replacing her. And it just happened recently that she got replaced. And so my moral of this story is, so now
a man
is in the job. But my moral of the story of all of this is, and it's not about that, because we see this happening all the time in the United States and probably around the world. I'm certainly not only speaking here. This is just my experience. But what's happening now is, as I've talked about it in supporting her, and as I've talked about it in my circle of people, in my circle of women, all age groups, all people, there have been a vast number of women who will say to me, but she's still going to make out really good. She's still going to have a great deal of money. She's still going to have a great deal of ability to get a job that's really fantastic. She's still going to have, she's still. And if she doesn't, you know, if she does all the things that she needs to do, it's all going to be okay. And I push back on that. I'm like, yes, all of that is true. And she knows all of that to be true, but that's not the truth.
Well, it's not the point either.
Well, it's not the real truth. The real truth is she worked hard for decades and decades to get to where she was, only to be replaced not on her work and not on her merit, but because she was a woman. And so it's very interesting to me, though, in talking to other women, that the pushback is, yeah, but she's still going to be great. She's still going to be okay. And if she does everything right, look at her future, could be really bright and amazing. And so I just want to push back a little bit on that. And the whole point of this is let's honor that it is a reality in this country that you can do all the things that you're supposed to do. You can do an extraordinary job. Every woman that I know says she's remarkable in what she has done, but still be replaced by a man.
It still wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. And so the point for me of this episode is you are enough. You are more than enough. And yes, she will thrive. She will go on. And, you know, as you and I talk about so much on the show, you know, every rejection is redirection. She will go on and she will thrive because she is extraordinary. But the point of what I'm saying is let's not make it, let's not say things like, but she will be okay. Let's say this is horrible. It should never happen. What little thing can I say and do in my little sphere of the conversation whenever this is happening to first and foremost say, this is not okay. And I don't stand for this. And then we can say, yes, we're going to support her in every way that we can because we love her, because we know that she's extraordinary. But let's not normalize that this is okay and that if she just does all the right things, she's still going to be okay. Let's push back on it first and say it's not okay.
Well, it's accepting, you know, this backwards behavior and then saying, oh, but she's so good, she can rise above it. And that's what you are often told during your divorce.
Yes.
When you were faced with, you know, bad behavior from your ex-husband, so many people, women included, oh, but you're so much better. Just rise above it. It doesn't matter. You're going to be great. Everyone knows that you're great. Just rise above it. And like, why should we be expected to constantly rise above men's bad behavior when the roles are never reversed?
Exactly. And I want to just put a little caveat in here that everything women are saying is nice. I mean, it's supportive. It's good. I just want to put a caveat in here. I'm not trying to make this a bashing of women that aren't supporting other women. I'm trying to make this an awareness. Let's really look at, okay, yes, they were helping me through my pain and suffering of the divorce and the utter, just really terribleness of how it all went down from behaviors on his side, which was nice. It was nice. Yes. But I also on the same side, we can't normalize and think that, oh, well, then now it's all okay. You know, like I think that's the really fine line that as women have to start looking at. And how do we start to erase that fine line a little bit and start to push back a little bit? You know, I went through a very hard time there for a little while in the beginning because of how difficult the whole thing was. And yes, I needed the support of all my women friends, which was phenomenal. But there's still that little piece in there that where some people were saying, yes, but you're going to rise, which is true. And I love that support. So I don't want this to sound like it's a bashing or that we don't want that too. We want that and.
Right.
I think is what I'm trying to say. It isn't always this or that. It's and can we, little by little, as a woman in the world today, just push back a little bit in ways that we can. And don't just always suck it up and say, well, this is the way it is. There's nothing I can do. So for me, this is like kind of cracking the window open a little bit in this episode of, is there a place in life where you can actually champion another woman or help her or like push back in a circle where people might be saying she should be lucky.
Supportive when
she should feel lucky.
There are no other voices supporting her.
Yes. Not be the person in the room, you know, that offers grace to the woman and says, wait a minute, but the time has come that we need to start making steps forward to change this, you know, in understanding that it's hard and it takes a lot of courage, and that's why I think it's so important that we understand how strong and powerful we are as humans, but especially women in this, because we're talking about women, that we have the power. We are strong enough. We are enough. We can lift another woman up, and we can push back in a small way where necessary, and not just be in the conversation afraid to say, but wait a minute, this is still wrong. This is happening. and she's incredible, but it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. I think adding that it's not okay goes a long way because it really sends the message, okay, I'm accepting it right now because there's nothing I can do about it in this moment. But the one thing that I can do about it in this moment is reject it and say it's not okay. But I know that's the way it is right now.
Speak your truth about it.
And speak the truth. So the truth is, women, we are more than enough. We are in a situation often that we are overlooked because we are a woman. We're not paid the same because we are a woman, all the things. But how can we start owning our own integrity, but also owning our own value, our worthiness, and that we are more than enough? And that we can be strong and humble at the same time. I view myself as a very strong, powerful woman. I come across as aggressive. Many people, you always say to me, Mom, can you dial it back a little bit? You're a little too loud. And I'll, you know what I say to her? And this is what's so beautiful. And she doesn't take a I'll say, I know I am loud. And she'll look at me and she'll say, I know. And I'm a little bit softer than you are.
Right.
And like we own each other. We love each other for who we are. Like it's okay to speak your truth. But don't expect the other person to have that same way, but allowing each other to be who they are. I guess that come off right. And like working through these contradictions of that we have to be soft but not powerful. I'm not that way and I never will be that way. I can't be, it's not how I was made.
Right.
I think it's because I had to be a man. To be the man. And so we can be independent and nurturing, but also be strong and confident. So my feeling so strongly and passionate in this episode is, my call out to all women listening to this is like own who you are, know you're more than enough, and don't feel like you have to shrink and be something that you're not and have to, yes, we have to navigate. Yes, we have to do all of that. I'm not saying, you know, don't navigate. Put your stake in the sand right now because that will not help you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say that, be one or the other. I'm trying to say, as you always say in episodes, Michelle, let's find the gray. Find the area where you can be exactly who you are and take a stand and push back. I guess, I don't know. I feel like I keep repeating.
Little places where you step in and make your truth, you know, heard or your voice heard or support. You know, be the voice in the room if there is none.
You know, Jane Goodall said, what you do may be too small to matter, but it matters that you do it.
Right.
That's some version of the quote that she did in her one of her latest books. And right. I read that, and actually you and I had the privilege of hearing her speak and bringing her to the university here several years ago. But her saying that, and I read that in her book, it just gave me so much strength and mm-hmm. gave me so much power because sometimes we feel like it doesn't matter what we do because it's too small. It's not going to make a difference.
Right.
And so I'm saying today during Women's Month, anything that we can do as another woman, and I'm also appealing to men, and I know so many beautiful, 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 strong men.
Supportive men.
Supportive men and lovely men and men that I love and honoring men. I just had dinner with one that's extraordinary, mm-hmm. extraordinary. He could be giving this talk on this episode today. So I'm not just singling out women, but today I'm just speaking to women. I feel like it's an honor for us to find our truth in any situation and not shrink from it or shy away from it, no matter how teeny tiny it is. So if another woman is being passed over for a man, or if another woman is not being treated in a way that you would wish that they would be treated, because especially if you love them and care for them and you know that they deserve it, you know, speak up in some little small way, push back,
mm-hmm.
you know, not in a way that necessarily harms you and causes you pain and suffering, but in a way that lets you stand your ground.
Yeah. And being a voice when maybe there isn't one.
Right. And being a voice, you know, or even if you have a woman in your life that is going through a similar situation, start off by saying, you are right. This is wrong.
Validating other women's experiences.
Yeah, and I am so sorry that you still have to be going through this all these decades later. And I really love and appreciate and honor you as an immigrant, for one, but not just an immigrant. It can be any woman, but you as an immigrant have I am so proud of you, and I love you so much, and I am so inspired by you and what all that you have done. And I know that this is not right, but I do know that it will evolve differently as we move forward in life, and I will do my small part. Well, but I also know that you're so strong and powerful, and you're going to thrive. You know that,
right?
As you said, Michelle. Yeah.
Well, I know I've often heard you say, in some of your challenges and difficulties over the past few years, like you just want to feel supported and validated in your feelings and your experiences, and just seen, heard, and understood. And I think that's huge that we do that for other women, that we validate their experiences and let them know that their feelings are valid and that their, you know, lived experiences are real. And, you know, that there's so much gaslighting that happens for so many of us that, no, that was what happened. Like, you know, when you were talking about that situation with, you know, being in that conversation with all the men, and, you know, I was in the room listening to it with you. So I validate, like, no, that happened. They were acting that way towards you and differently towards the other men. You know, reinforcing what's true so that we can remember and not, you know, when people want to second guess or doubt, like, no, you're right. That did happen.
Thank God you just said that, Michelle, because that was so vital. And you just made me think of something. In situations like that, that's exactly what you said. You said, Mom, I can't believe when it was over, you heard the conversation. I can't believe that. You were right. This was unbelievable. But then you didn't extend it and say, but you're going to be strong and it's all going to be okay. So I want to amend a little bit about what I said earlier in this situation with my friend. Just that sometimes, because it's really a grief. It's a loss. It's like, oh my God, I just got... I don't know, taken down 20 pegs or whatever. I just got really, what do you call it, Michelle? I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for. It is like a grief or a loss or you have to actually take a moment to breathe that this just happened to me because mm-hmm. it's so egregious. And so I want to amend a little bit that what this friend of mine is going through, what you said to me was perfect. And you didn't take it to, and Mom, you're going to be okay. Don't even add that. If you're in a conversation with a friend who is going through what I just said about my friend, sometimes the best thing you can say, and this is what they say and what I really love when someone has experienced a death or a divorce or a major, major loss, really you just want to hear the person talk about what their feelings are and validate them. It's at a later date,
right,
that you can say, you know, I know you're struggling and this has been so horrible and I'm here for you and I'll do anything that you need to help you and support you. You don't need to tell them they're going to be okay, that they're going to thrive and they're going to have the greatest job later. Maybe later that can come, but in the very beginning, it's really important. I can't tell you the gift that you gave me. I was so happy that I asked you to be on the other side. It was a Zoom, so you could be on the other side of the table and listen. I asked you to be on the other side of it because it made all the difference in the world for me because it was so horrible. And I, you know, as women, sometimes we'll say, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? But you validated, Mom, that was really bad. That was so egregious.
Right.
That was horrible, the way that they treated you, the way that they talked to you. So thank you for that. And I think that that's really a part of this conversation today is, in many instances, just listen to the woman in your life that is struggling because of being treated inequitable or mm-hmm. being treated unfairly or being treated badly. And they might be feeling like, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? And questioning their worth or questioning their ability to speak up. And maybe I shouldn't, I say this to you often sometimes, maybe I shouldn't have spoken too loudly. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. And thinking they needed to shrink or thinking I needed to step back. So it's really important to let people, especially if you're a woman to another woman, to have their feelings and not feel like they have to shapeshift into something other than who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot, but I think ultimately what we wanted to take this week in this month to remember is that if you're feeling a certain way, remembering that, you know, you are always enough despite any of this, the external pressures or expectations. You know, you're enough. Your worthiness is inherent, you know, and really, if nothing else, seek to take that in and to own it. Of course, like we talked about, celebrating and supporting the women in your life, you know, being the voice for them or validating them when they need it or standing up for them when maybe they're being, you know, pushed aside, you know, that matters. It's important. It lifts women up and, you know, and it shows, it's like, you know, that phrase, you know, show people how you want to be treated, you know, teach people how you want to be treated. That shows everyone how, you know, women should be treated, you know, with support and with care and kindness. And, you know, I think just having these conversations, even though they might be uncomfortable or, you know, ruffling feathers, maybe whatever that might be, it's, you know, like you said, Mom, it's speaking of what's true for us. And I would never want anyone to think that because we've reached some sort of level of success that like we don't experience it too. You know, it was shocking for me to see that happen to you. I thought, there's no way in that situation with the men that we're referring to. And it was true. So it does happen. And, you know, it's important that we talk about it so that no one feels alone in their experiences. And so I hope that this conversation has validated any experiences that you might have had or feelings that you might be feeling, and just knowing that you're not alone. And that, you know, we're here to be a support and a community that can lift, you know, all of us up.
I love that, Michelle. And I have men in my life that have heard this story of what happened, and they are so supportive. And really, they're apologetic. I'm so sorry that this happened to you. Mm-hmm. This should not be happening today. So this isn't about a man bashing episode. This really is all the men out there. I really honor and love how supportive you are. And I think we can do this together. And I think the idea too of just really being who you are as a woman, mm-hmm. you know, maybe redefining success or, you know, being living life on your own terms and embracing who you are, you know, setting the boundaries where necessary and allowing yourself to exist. You and I have talked about this a lot lately, and this maybe teased the next episode or a next episode to come, mm-hmm. you know, allowing yourself to exist without apology.
I love that.
Yeah, I love you, great, Michelle. I love all of you listening today. And thank you for being the women and the men in our lives who are supportive and loving and caring.
Amen, Mother. Yes, thank you so much for listening. And of course, happy Women's Day, happy Women's Month. You know, this is a show that's, you know, over a majority of the population or of the statistics are women listeners. So we are so grateful to have you all and to be in conversation with you all about some of these, you know, challenging but important topics that we can discuss together and find, you know, solutions and tips and tricks to move through it, you know, as we navigate it together. So thank you so much for listening and being such a supportive community. We are so grateful for all of you. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode as it drops. If you're loving the show, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. We are so grateful when you do so. Questions, comments, concerns, or future podcast topic requests, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to stay in touch with us. There's a couple links in our show notes for our Substack if you want to catch us over on that platform. And stay tuned for lots of fun announcements and updates in the near future. We're really excited for what 2025 has in store for the show and for our community. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.